Special guest,
Susie Clinchy.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host, Dave, and as always, alongside me is the other host of the Power Motion Picnic Hour, and his name is
Trevor.
Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
I'm good. Busy in life, but as always, happy to be here on Pod.
Of course. Yeah, me too. And you've got a big event coming up, as I recall.
I do. I'm a week and a half out from the New York City Marathon.
Are you in the taper?
Yeah, I'm deep in the taper. Yeah. I ran a quick for myself half marathon a few days ago. I got one more long run, long with quotes around it, long run left at 10 miles, and then a couple more shorties, and then, yeah, a few days off, and then I'm running the marathon.
Nice. And do you know, not that it matters, but do you know what your time was on the half, or did you just go out and run it?
Yeah, it was about 2:12.
2:12 on a half, okay.
Yeah, so if I can keep that pace up, I should be shattering my PR by about 23 minutes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I had a lot of energy at the end of that, actually. What I did was I was running with our very own female gear shed testing correspondent, 2+ laps around Central Park, and she was timing it on her smartwatch and Garmin and Strava and all that. So I was running with her, but then I just ran a very fast last half mile.
Nice.
Like a very fast. I felt like I was running that half mile. Like, yeah, I had tons of energy. But she PR'd her own personal half marathon.
Nice.
Just, yeah. And that was basically just because she had places to be and she was running late.
Nice work. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah. It was fun. Very, very excited for the marathon. Ran a little 10K earlier today. Maybe go for a little bigger midweek run tomorrow at night.
Nice.
But yeah, other than that, pretty much done. Just got to make sure I got gear all set to go. My new shoes came in the mail. Got to pick out an outfit. That's about it.
What shoes are you running in?
I got a new pair of Saucony Endorphin 4s Speed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just they made a New York City edition, so I ordered that one.
Oh, perfect. That's right. Yeah, that's right on point. Because you've been running in those, you've been training those, logged like a bunch of miles in them. Now you're getting a new pair. Yep. Like, you know, they run right out of the box for you and all that. So,
yeah, they're great. I'll probably take them out I'm going to probably do a 2-miler on Thursday and then maybe 10 on Saturday and then a couple great. Other oh, short ones.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Get into 25 miles in there and then take them to Staten Island.
Oh, that's the best.
Very excited. Yeah. Anyway, how about you? How's your running? You mentioned a little bit during our interview, which we'll get to soon, but it sounds like you've been doing a little running.
Well, yeah, I've been on the injured reserve for last couple weeks. Maybe call it 2.5-3 weeks, and then another week of just not running. And then yesterday got out and ran and took a fall. But otherwise had a good run.
Awesome. And yeah, that's a little foreshadowing. We'll hear more about that fall coming up in this episode. But yeah, running running is great, right?
Running's great. Yeah, that's one of the less consequential things that we talked about.
We had a wonderful and very inspiring chat with Susie Clinchy from Fast Feet NYC. And now I guess just Fast Feet because they've been expanding into so many other cities.
Psyched for the conversation. Can't say enough, you know, good things.
Yeah, let's cut to that now. And then you and I can get back in touch on the other side of the episode and catch up on training runs and falls and other exciting things going on in our lives and our lives in running.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
My name is Susie Clinchy. I am the founder and executive director of a nonprofit called Fast Feet NYC. And our nonprofit provides adaptive and inclusive running and health equity programs for children and young adults with developmental and physical disabilities here in New York City where I live, as well as in cities like Los Angeles, Detroit, Boston, and Miami is coming soon. Before I started Fast Feet, I was a public school teacher, and I have been a runner since I was 15. So that is more than half of my life now. and I ran in high school, I ran collegiately, and I still compete now. I am like 29 weeks pregnant, so.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
A lot of competing happening at the moment, but soon.
Training for something else currently.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, amazing. That's a hell of a bio and great introduction. Thank you for all the info, and thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got a lot in common. I'm in New York, and Trevor is just outside Boston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering what sort of programs are you doing up in Boston? My son is a full-time wheelchair user, so we do a lot of like the adaptive sports of New England, and we do some of the ski programs up in like New Hampshire and Vermont. But yeah, curious what sort of stuff you're doing around here.
We have a partnership with Franciscan Children's.
Oh, awesome.
Hospital. So we have a program 3 seasons out of the year. Each season is 8 weeks at the track, like the New Balance track.
Mm-hmm.
So we operate there, and then we're working on expanding. We just got approved by Boston Public Schools to offer public school programming, which I'm excited about.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you happen to know Paul Ward at Franciscans? Yeah.
Paul is, when he was in New York, he helped me basically start my first few programs here because he was head of adaptive programming at NYC Parks. And then when he moved to Boston, I was like, Paul, up there. So yes, I know Paul really well. He's amazing.
He's incredible. Yeah, he did. He did a program at Celtics camp over this past summer, which was really cool too. Yeah, there were like 4 courts, and one of them was full like wheelchair basketball. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I know Paul's a great basketball player himself, so that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. So what got you into sort of pursuing this as like your thing?
Pursuing Fast Feet?
Fast Feet, yeah. Just the mission of Fast Feet, like everything you're doing with the program.
Yeah, so I was a public school teacher, and running is, you know, one of my largest passions. So, you know, in addition to serving our youth here in New York City, you know, also running, and I was like thinking of ways I can kind of put the two together. And I had coached at the schools that I was teaching at, and I really enjoyed connecting with the students outside of the classroom. Mm-hmm. I thought that was, it's just different, right? It's a math class and a running club, right? It's very different ways in which you can connect with students. So I really enjoyed coaching. And around that time, I had a friend who was working at a school for children with autism in New York. And he knew I was coaching. And he was like, you know, this school had never had an after school sport program before. They had obviously physical education, but not a sport program. So he connected me with the school, and he thought it could be really cool to start a running club at their school. So I went in twice a week, and I worked with their adaptive PE department, their occupational therapist, and we created a 12-week program that had a curriculum that sort of incorporated all of their different therapy needs. And so, yeah, it's twice a week I met with them, and it was a really cool group of like 15 kids, ages 8 to 18. We had a student who, you know, literally ran for the first time ever at school. We had all these really exciting milestones. And then at the end of the 12 weeks, we took them to a track meet at Icon Stadium, and they raced the 400 meters. And we were, you know, the only neurodiverse group of students there. And, you know, our kids ran in an inclusive racing setting. USA Track and Field was really great in allowing us to like bring parents down and have like support staff around the track. And you know, we were teachers and parents, we were a little nervous. We're like, how's this going to go? This is really new for all of them. They've never done a race before on the track. But they had absolutely no problem. You know, the gun went off. They stayed in their lane the whole time. They didn't need our support on the track. And just watching their independence grow over the 12 weeks. And then, you know, watching them race this 400 meter dash at, you know, a huge stadium and with a packed crowd in New York City, it was such a light bulb moment for me, because you see, obviously, the growth, the physical growth, the social emotional development of these students, just through, you know, twice a week working hard together, practicing, sweating, and then obviously, you know, looking at the parents' reactions, right, and seeing their faces light up, or they're videoing the whole race, or they're crying, and maybe they thought their child never would have the opportunity to participate in a, you know, a general athletic setting. So, you know, sort of this really catalyzed the idea for me to kind of start doing research and be like, okay, well, what is offered for children with autism or other developmental or physical disabilities here in New York? And I couldn't really find anything similar to what we had created at that school. So I was like, you know what? I love this. I'm going to go all in. And I started a 501c3 a few months later. And now we are, what, 5-6 years after that. And we're serving about 1,100 families in New York, and then our pilot cities nationwide as well.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, you found a totally unmet need, it sounds like, and filled the void. What's the general age range of the young athletes?
So we start as young as 5, and then we don't have an age limit. So we have one athlete who's she's 49 years old, and nice. She's been since the beginning. And we have a lot of young adults who participate as well, because after you graduate high school, there can be a really big drop off in services for the young adults, especially those in their 20s and their 30s, who are used to like having that structured high school life. And then all of a sudden they don't have that. So I think that's a huge need as well. So we don't cut off. We don't have like an age limit. So
yeah,
you can stay with us, you know, for as long as you want.
That's amazing. As a couple amateur runners in our early 40s, I think we appreciate age range ourselves. So.
Yeah.
That's how many schools do you guys have programs in now?
We have, at any given time, we're operating up to 20 programs in New York, and then we have about 2 programs in each of our pilot cities.
Well, that's awesome.
Susie, it sounds like you sort of found a couple things that you were really good at doing and that you really enjoyed, and then put them together and then sort of made this awesome program and just, you know, scaled it. And that's just incredible. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it speaks to the need for more inclusive athletic recreation programming. If you can offer a program that is high quality, you know, there's so many families who will want to participate. So I think it also just speaks to the need, you know, not just in New York, nationwide, for inclusive sports, recreation, fitness programming.
Totally. Yeah, not to embarrass you, but also like, you're like a really good role model for people too, which is cool, like to do what you're doing and follow your passions. It's really awesome.
Yeah, no, I feel like super lucky. I basically got to design exactly what I want to do, and I get to do it every day. So very, very lucky.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We should all do that.
Yeah. One thing I love about running, and I do a lot of New York Road Runners races, and I like often noticing just how inclusive it is, but I like even more how you noticed how it could be more inclusive. There was space and opportunity to bring people in different ways, you know?
Absolutely. And that's why we love doing community races. Like, we'll go to the Brooklyn Mile every August, mm-hmm. And it's such like an inclusive environment. And, you know, we get to bring all of our athletes and, you know, we participate in the Friends and Family Mile. And it's really exciting because now people cheering, they know that Fast Feet's going to be in the race. And it's really cool to kind of hear them. You know, I've never met a lot of these people, but they're cheering for Fast Feet, right? They see our logo. So that's really exciting to kind of see it grow within large community races and events too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Aside from even the support, the visibility is probably great because Trevor was saying, you know, you're a great role model. Is that the word you used? The phrase?
Yeah.
But now there's a whole group of great role models now out there running, you know, at Icon Stadium or wherever else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you guys gone back to Icon Stadium a bunch of times?
We have a couple. We try to kind of rotate where, because we have athletes in all five boroughs. So every season, we operate four seasons throughout the year. So we'll do winter, spring, summer, and fall. And then every season we pick like a new location to kind of try out different races and different locations around the city. So that's really fun as well, to sort of expose our families to new parks or new mm-hmm. races or new running clubs or new organizations too.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, no, well, it's a big city, so a lot of people.
It's a big city, yeah. And it can get hard because, you know, we'll get requests from families who, you know, I live in Chelsea, or I live in, you know, the Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn. So yeah. It's like, we want to open up a program in every neighborhood. Unfortunately, you know, not possible at the moment. But that's also a hard part too, is New York is so big and millions of people that live here. So you want to offer a program where people want it, but you can't do everywhere, which is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We did, last year we hosted, we called it the Community Mile, which was just a day where everybody who wanted to could ambulate for a mile, however they chose, and submit sort of the form of ambulation, the time, and also the enjoyment factor. And we sort of like then through our proprietary algorithm, which was basically just Dave and I talking about it, we decided like the winners in each category. And I feel like it was a fun way to get people out there.
That's a great idea.
We'll invite you the next time we do it. I don't think we'll see if you're in a good condition to be racing a competitive mile.
That's true.
Although regardless, you could probably beat me and Trevor, who had a great head-to-head matchup. But
perhaps the stroller mile. When my oldest son was young, we showed up at a local fun run, a 5K, and in some way, U.S. track and field was like associated with it, which I think it just meant like people who wanted to could like count their times. But they tried to DQ me because I had my son like on my back in a backpack, and they said it was like equipment that was not allowed in an official race. But then finally somebody came over and said like, it's okay. Like, this is just a neighborhood 5K. Like, he can walk the course with his young apprentice. Yeah.
Right. Also not an advantage to have like 30 pounds on your, on your back.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I'm just at risk of like knocking into one of the like good runners and messing up his time.
Good point. How did you do?
I mean, we finished. We had a great time. Yeah. By those measures. Yeah. I don't know how long it took us. I'm guessing probably like 40, 45 minutes. Probably like
Not bad considering.
That's pretty good for a child on your back.
We weren't really going. We weren't going for speed. We were more going for experience.
I very often prioritize experience and enjoyment over speed when I'm running. So maybe that's a good lesson.
I'm trying to get back to more of that. But anyway, so the Community Mile, which we also like to talk about a lot, Dave. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, but I was actually somewhat inspired a community mile that we had done here in Boston with, do you know the Martin Richard Foundation?
I think it's
from like the Boston Marathon. But anyway, he hosts this like inclusive track event down in South Boston. And they also had like a bunch of pro runners in like a bunch of different categories. And when my son was really young, we went down there and then at the very end, after all these pro runners, like standing runners, wheelchair racers, like all kinds of different runners do their like amazing running, they then just say like, whoever would like to can come out and run a mile if you can. And like, literally like a bunch of people pile out of the stands and like my son and I, and like, I'm pushing him around in the wheelchair. He's like, I don't know, 3 years old probably. And yeah, we kind of like jogged around and did a mile. It was a fun community mile. It was like, it was just like a free for all.
That's so fun though. Has your son done any other races?
He hasn't been doing the track racing quite as much recently. We haven't found like the right setup for him. Yeah. I feel like the chair is really important. And I think like the ones that he has, just put his body in a position that's not right for him. And so he might need one that he's more sitting more like upright.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm thinking.
I do love seeing the variety of chairs, you know, go by. Cause like, if you, let's say you're watching like New York or Boston, you know, they look the same, the people at the front, but then all of a sudden you start seeing other kinds of chairs.
Mm-hmm. And all kinds of positions.
Yeah,
there's a big variety, and they can also be extremely expensive, which
is
a barrier too. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Susie, are you getting excited, or are you going to do what Trevor suggested, which is start doing the stroller running?
No, I'm not sure. Part of me is like, well, running will be my, you know, one time of day that'll just be for me.
Yeah.
So logistically, it's probably like easiest to do that. So I'll have to see. But I also feel like it changes your running form a little bit too, right?
Yeah. It's funny. I was just thinking about that because I was doing a long run in Central Park on Saturday. Yeah. And someone went like flying by me with one.
Really?
Yeah. So I was just kind of, it just got me thinking about it, you know, plenty of time out there to think, first of all.
Goodbye, heel strikes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bounce with the stroller.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's also my sister Reese gave birth like a little over a year ago. And she was like, it's significantly harder to push the
stroller and run. There's also that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, aside from like on the flats and the uphill, there's gotta be some kind of strange downhill technique that you have to master to not.
I can't even
imagine what that's like. Usually that, you know, cause that's the time to take off, at least when you're running around Central Park and running distance, but.
Right. Yeah. Holding it down Harlan Hill.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to think about as a training method to go out with like a weighted stroller and the downhill pulling motion, and like what muscles you use then is probably interesting. And
the feeling
of going fast and that like biomechanical like repetition. I don't know.
Could be. I mean, I kind of feel like running now, pregnant, feels like you're running with like a weight vest on, which I'm like, it is good training. Maybe benefit.
Yeah. Good strength work. Yeah,
absolutely. It literally feels like a weight
vest. How can it not be? Right?
What, like good strength running, work?
Yeah. Running with more weight and, you know, yeah.
It's similar to what you did that one time.
Gain a lot of weight and
when you ran with your son on your back.
Oh yeah.
But yes, I think running with while heavier is probably strengthens your legs as well.
I did it for strength training and then started running again to get back in shape. Yeah.
Or back a little bit to some of the fast feet programs. What distances do you guys do? And were you surprised at like some of the distances that, I don't know, athletes of all ages turned out to be more interested in?
I think our team favorite is the 1 mile.
Okay.
We really enjoy that distance because it's long enough to be an endurance challenge, but short enough to be like, okay, we're gonna, you know, a lot of us are going to finish this in 10 minutes. We have done 5K. That's sort of our longest race. And that's definitely an endurance challenge for a lot of us. And then we love to participate in the track meets too. So we'll do the 100, the 200, and the 400, which obviously for a lot of younger kids is so fun.
Yeah.
Exciting. I think for me personally, as you know, like a coach and you know, watching everybody, I just love watching the mile, because it's such a challenge. It's, you know, it's a challenge. Running a fast mile for anybody is so hard. But it's really rewarding. You finish and you feel really, really proud of yourself. So yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one thing we noticed when we did our community mile. I think we were like, we hadn't tried, or I certainly hadn't tried running a competitive mile myself, even since high school. You know, it's a thing nobody asks you to do after high school.
Yeah. And it's a different sort of challenge, different sort of pain, you know, than like a half marathon or marathon. Running the mile it's just challenges your body in a different way. And yeah, I feel like as you get older, you do it less and less.
Yep.
I had done it in the middle of, like, by design, I did it in the middle of like a bigger run, which I sort of like set up with light running and then like ran a fast mile to get a time. But even that is like different than just lining up cold and then being like, now run a fast mile, like run as fast as you can for a mile. It's like a different thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I started running track in high school and in college, and I would, the mile was something that I raced a lot. And yeah, it's just funny now. It's like I just do it so infrequently, but it is.
Yeah.
I also feel as you get older, as most people get older, if they stick with running, or even get into it older, they're into longer distances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've found that as a runner yourself in your more recent and adult life.
Yeah. It's like, to be competitive at the 1 mile, you just have to be so insanely fast. So, you know, you just get pushed out longer and longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, sprinting is another thing I haven't done in a long, long time. I wonder if I could sprint 110 meters as fast as I used to do the 110 hurdle event, like now.
Ooh, that would be a good test.
Do you know your old times, like from high school?
I think it was like 15 something. Does that make sense? Is that a time? I think
that sounds reasonable.
For like Division III New Hampshire high school track.
I'd have to check the record books.
we can check the record books.
I bet you could run 15 seconds on the 100 right now.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You said 110 though.
Oh, 110. Okay.
Yeah, 110 meters? extra 10 meters, because that's what you have to run up to get to the first hurdle, I think, and then you do 100.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that we're discussing
less,
this.
Less confident.
I don't know, like 110 times.
That's true.
I don't know. I think you have to do it this weekend and let us know.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, now that we've put this down and we've recorded it, we have to find out the answer.
I might do it. Okay, I'll see if I can find a flattish area to do a trial.
Yeah. But
then I guess I'll actually need to do it on a track to know 110 meters when I'm.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do it too. And Susie, if you want, you know, you can do a pregnant 110.
Oh,
and
a waddle.
Yeah, a 110 waddle. And which still, waddle, yeah. that still might win out of the three of us. It might be the proper handicapping.
Since we kind of forgot to do the community mile this year, we'll just do the 110 instead this weekend.
I'd say we didn't forget until the year's over, but there's a good chance.
There's a good chance that we're on our way. We're trending towards forgetting. Yeah.
Good year that the 2024 community mile is going to be go the way of the 2020 Boston Marathon.
Or the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah.
Well, they did the 2020 Tokyo Olympics in 2021 though, officially, right?
I think so. Yeah. So I guess we have all the time.
A good point. Yeah. Less good of an excuse, but we could still lean on that as some kind of precedent that we can invoke. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Susie, what events did you run? What was your favorite event to run in college?
I like cross country the best. I loved racing cross country and the team aspect of it, and just sort of, you know, running on grass, up hills in the cold. I really enjoyed that. On the track, probably the 1500 and the 3000. Nice. I think those were really fun. I probably had like more talent for the longer stuff, but I, you know, it's like everybody wants to be a miler. So
yeah,
I did a lot of those. So yeah, those two. But I think cross country was my top, my most, you know, like best memories. It's just such a team environment, team aspect, and, you know, kind of growing up playing like softball and field hockey and basketball. I think transferring that, you know, me being used to like team sports to sort of the team sport of running cross country. So yeah, that was usually my favorite.
Oh, awesome. When I was young, I ran a little track in high school, but I didn't appreciate the long distances. So I never ran cross country, and distances came to me later, but the team aspect of a track team, I really love. And I guess a cross country team is the same probably.
Yeah. I didn't do cross country until junior year of high school because I was like, ew, no, why would you want to run 3 miles?
I didn't get it.
And I remember when someone was like, you should do cross country. I like literally thought it was you run across the country. Never heard of the sport at all. Then you kind of get roped in, and then it just becomes like addicting.
I had no idea how long a cross country race was in high school, but I just perceived it to be this like incredibly long slog through the woods. Like,
it felt so long. Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? And I recently learned it's like 3 miles. which is like a good distance. I'm not like laughing at the distance, but like for people who run like, you know, slow for like long periods of time, like it's just not that, you know, it's not that long.
No, we would race 4K, which is like 2.5 miles, or the 5K, which is a little over 3. And it was each course would be one of those two. But I remember like my first year running, I would just like ask people on the side, I'd be like, how much longer do I have? They're like so tired. Definitely becomes addicting.
I had the same perception of it in high school. I hadn't really thought about that. Like, yeah, I was like, I had no idea how long a cross country run was. I just assumed it was longer than I was interested in. And it seemed crazy, I think. That's how I felt about it. Yeah. Yeah. Who would want to do that? I don't know. I mean, like, and one of my best friends was the captain of the team, and I still had that attitude. I was still like, that's nuts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I had a lot of friends who were like, why do you run cross country? It seems so stupid. Yeah, I don't know, something about it. I just loved it.
Well, I have those friends now, right? Who are like, why do you run marathons? That seems crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, in hindsight, I totally wish I ran cross country rather than like play football or whatever in that season.
Right. Yeah. Better for your brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, better for my brain, better for my long-term health. But it was nice to, I don't know, sort of discover running again and like 40 or so, start running a lot, like, and then more than ever, like that was a fun thing to do.
Yeah. It's cool to see folks kind of rediscover running in their, you know, late 20s or 30s or 40s. I know people, you know, just ran their first race at 60 years old. So, I think that's a really cool part about our sport is, you know, it's not like soccer or football. You're not going to take 20 years off and then, you know, start again when you're 41. but that's the cool part about our sport is you can take time off, come back, and it's always there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Actually, I did, though, join a basketball league 2.5 years ago and hadn't played competitive basketball in over a decade. Not that this was that competitive.
You're not still playing basketball, are you?
You're asking Susie.
No, you.
Oh, me. No, I did one season. And that was it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I feel like everybody I know in their 40s that plays a team sport ends up getting injured like badly.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I was 39 at the time, so I got it in right at the end of my 30s, right before right I turned 40. But I do remember, and I don't know if I've talked about this on pod or not, but I remember the first time that I went up for a rebound and got like kind of taken out underneath, and then like I could, and I just felt myself going down, and I hit the floor like really hard, and I just it was fine. It wasn't that it hurt or anything, but it was like as I was hitting the ground, I was like, I'm going to break my body and I'm never going to move again. And then I couldn't believe how fortunate I was that I was able to just jump up and somehow I was okay. Cause I don't think I've fallen like that, you know, as like, I don't know, as a 39-year-old, it didn't come up a lot.
No, it's definitely different. That's cool though. My dad played, he played like competitive baseball and basketball through like, till he was about 50, maybe 55. But yeah, he only stopped because he had to get a double hip replacement surgery. But
oh man,
otherwise I think he'd still be out there.
Yeah, there is like a whole like I guess like contingent of kind of old guy basketball players that you see even just doing pickup games at the gym or in the park or whatever. And yeah, that could have been the beginning of me turning into one of those, maybe. Yeah, but instead I signed up for my first marathon. So. Oh, yeah. Went the other way.
Yeah, it's a divergent path.
Yeah, I'm happy with the choice. Been pretty fulfilling. Basketball was okay being in a adult basketball league. Not to knock it for anyone who gets great joy out of it, but
yeah. No, and I didn't mean to say everybody injures themselves. I'm sure some people can play these sports still.
Yeah, well, and I didn't actually injure myself. I did turn out to be a little more. Yeah, it was fine. I hit the ground and I was okay. Actually, but the funny thing was what I was most not injured from, but was sore from like the day after the first game I played because I hadn't really used those muscles in a long time. You know, so just the stopping and starting and all the, I don't know, lateral motion or whatever. Zigzagging, it's a big part of my game. I hadn't done any of that in so long. I had just been like basically running or doing other simple exercise kind of stuff.
Yeah. I had been out of running for a couple weeks, recovering from something, and yesterday went for my first run in a couple weeks, and about a half a mile into my 2.5 mile run, I like kicked this root and just went flat out like on my stomach, just full on like vertical crash. And I got back and my wife asked like how was the run, like how was it to be out there running again, and I was like, oh yeah, well, you know didn't go that fast but had fun. I told her about the fall and she's like you should be really like happy you didn't like break a hip or something. I'm like like, yeah, it's probably true.
You're a few years shy of that kind of injury, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. I do fall a lot. As I assured her, I fall. This is not a rare event in my case, but
that's true.
I do a fair amount. I mean, not now, pre-pregnancy with a group of men and women in who live in the Bronx, and most of them immigrated from Ethiopia, and they're like incredible runners, and you know, we'll go up in the trails in the Bronx, and they are just all so incredibly agile and coordinated, and like they love to run on sort of rougher trails with like leaves covering rocks and roots, and you have no idea what your foot's stepping on. So every time I'm like, I'm going to break my ankle. And they're just so beautifully graceful and they never have any issues. And I'm just in the back hoping I'm not falling. It's very impressive. Yeah.
I just want to add that we are, as always, this podcast flies by and we have 3.5 minutes left on our podcast clock. We record to a timer. I'm not usually this good about giving a warning. I'm usually like, we have 30 seconds.
any final remarks?
Yeah, but is there anything we want to touch on? Susie, any exciting news that you want to share with the listeners or any topics you'd like to bring up?
I guess a big exciting part for us is we got funding from On Running, you know, the brand On.
Wow.
Yeah, the cloud runners,
to expand into Miami. So that's our latest venture. And we are we're really excited over the next 5 years to invest more deeply in Miami and Boston, Detroit, and Los Angeles to replicate the level of programming that we have here in New York, and hopefully serve, you know, 1,100 families in all those cities as well. So wow, that's sort of our 5-year vision, and something we're really excited about. And yeah, that's you know, on my plate for the next 5 years.
that's a lot. That's enough to put on your plate. I think that's amazing. That's so exciting for all those cities and everyone who gets to be involved.
Yeah, we're really excited. So if anybody wants to get involved and you're in that city, feel free to reach out.
It's incredible.
One last question, because then we're going to run out of time. Susie, do you like running to music? And if so, what's your favorite music to run to?
I do. When I'm running by myself, I will usually listen to music. Oh gosh, pretty eclectic. Probably like, I'll definitely listen to either rap or like really like indie pop from when I was like 23, so I can feel nostalgic for that.
Yeah, that's what I do. I feel younger, and therefore I feel as fast as I was when I was younger.
I'll do that, or like listen to like an old playlist from college and try to replicate that feeling of, you know, being 20 and that.
I love it. Susie, thank you so much for joining us. This has been amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour. Thank you so much, Susie. Thanks for coming on. That was amazing.
Thank you so much, Susie. Yeah, thank you for all the great work you do. And thanks so much for joining as special guest.
Yeah, that was awesome. I loved hearing about all that. I kind of, like with all of our special guests, I wish we could talk forever.
Yep. It always ends too soon.
Yeah, it's probably best, though, that we set that strict time restriction and we impose that on ourselves.
We've appreciated the restriction. Keeps us honest.
Do you ever like load up podcasts that you're thinking about listening to, and then you look at it and it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and you're like, I'm not listening to that?
Yeah, that's a pretty big commitment, even to a podcast that you know you like, unless it's like an intentionally long sort of like, I don't know, like the sleep baseball stuff that I feel like is all AI generated, but it's like SF just says funny names and talks like baseball plays for hours on end, you know.
That is good. I guess we could let some of our listeners chime into the mailbag if they agree or disagree. I know certain ultra runners who've appeared on this podcast, maybe popular runner Jim Pergolesi, he probably loves a nice over 2-hour podcast.
Yeah, over 2-hour sleep baseball played on 1.5 time speed. Yeah. Or he actually said his preference, I think, was 1.3, which I don't know where he gets that. I've only seen 1.25, and maybe he was just rounding up. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he's got a more advanced podcast app than the rest of us. I just use Spotify.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sure there's something better, or maybe not, you know.
Yeah.
Once again, more things to hit us up in the mailbag about that we could make as corrections next week. Off the top of the show, we did a little week in running. I think I covered just about everything that I did, and you did too, discussing your fall.
My one fall on my short run. My one short run, yeah. I'll do some more running before next episode. We can talk about it then. Maybe a few more falls, maybe not. Hopefully not. I'm definitely not trying to fall. But I don't know. Do you want to do a song of the week next week?
Yeah, we should do a song of the week. It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, I think it's your turn, probably.
It's my turn to pick. Okay, I'll think about that, and I'll send you something off pod. I'm not ready for the moment right now. It's definitely too big for me, but I'll try not to have a repeat of this at the New York Marathon. I'll try to be ready for that. But next week,
no, you don't need to think of it on the spot. But it'll be a good motivation for me to get out and run to it too.
Okay. You know what might be good? I just made a new playlist about, I won't say the title because it's got a curse word in it. I try not to curse on pod. Mm-hmm. I leave that to occasional special guests. I won't name any names, Brendan Etter. I leave that to our guests to swear, but, I made a playlist of of artists I like from the 80s and 90s, but newer music that they've released from this decade. And anyway, so maybe I'll pick one of those, because that, but while trying to put that playlist together, I realized that there's a lot of great stuff that I'm just not aware of. Like, I didn't know Soul Asylum had a new album until I looked it up. I was like, does Soul Asylum have a new album?
Yeah,
they do. And they're playing New York a week from tonight. And I'll probably go now that I know about it.
It's like that sort of embarrassing question I asked Bobby Daniel about, like, which band was he playing for in Vegas?
He was Fastball. Playing with Fastball. Yeah.
Fastball. Yeah. And we all know, what is it? The Move, or no, The Way.
The Way.
The Way. Yeah. The Way. But like, yeah, they've been releasing a bunch of other stuff for years, and they've got fans, and it's cool. They're out there, you know, playing music.
Maybe I'll check out some of their new stuff. And, you know, I was never the biggest Fastball fan, but that's no reason not to check out their latest record and see if it would fit in with my new playlist.
You know, we all change. They might have evolved.
Yeah, if I can say anything based on the other like 20 bands I've added to this playlist, none of them have really changed. They all sound like basically the same band. Like, I put on a more rockin' Soul Asylum song, but I definitely almost put on a new Soul Asylum song that sounds like Runaway Train. So, but that's what we liked about it. You know, it was a good.
That's the tough thing, right? It's like, why don't they have more songs like Runaway Train?
They do.
You just don't like it when they do the same as Runaway Train.
They have two. Actually. There were two new Runaway Trains on this new record. There's no music video. No. Tugging at your heartstrings like the one in the 90s. Probably the,
like, yeah.
But yeah, there's a bunch of good stuff. Maybe one of these will have to make the song of the week. There was a Stephen Malkmus has a new band.
Oh, nice.
The Hard Quartet. And then Kim Deal's been releasing some solo stuff.
Oh, I really like some of that. Some of that's come on. I like the new Kim Deal for sure.
And there was some new Mike Watt. This is a killer playlist. I'm having a good time just thinking about this playlist and naming bands on it. Red Cross. Matthew Sweet. You guys remember Matthew Sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I caught him live in like 97 or 98 or something. Mm-hmm. He's still out there. He can still write a song.
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Okay, anyway, that's enough foreshadowing. So next week, song of the week, we'll listen to and run to one of these.
One of those songs, yeah. No, that sounds great.
Awesome. Well, anything else? Anything else we need to talk about? Any news? Any race report? Mailbag?
Not much mailbag this week.
But. Oh, I did have a mailbag. I forgot. Listener Rachel from Tennessee wrote in. Any tips or advice on improving cadence? I'm not trying to hit a magic number. However, my form completely suffers over the longer runs. And sometimes I hear myself doing the marathon shuffle instead of lifting my feet. I don't feel qualified to answer this question.
I originally thought maybe I could offer some vague suggestions. Or I could ask somebody who knows more. So sure enough, reached out to Coach Friend, got a couple pointers. All right. Classic advice would be to playlist at a certain cadence.
Okay.
So like 90 BPM for a 190 cadence, 85 for 170 and so on. Intentional about lifting knees, sort of flicking the heels. So you want to kind of like avoid call out to special guest Hillary McCloy, who said it's all about minimizing ground contact. So think about how to have the least amount of time with your sole hitting the surface.
Okay.
Think about like a little tap, tap, tap motion, right? Instead of like a clomping, do like a little tippity tap.
That's great advice.
So that's partially Coach Friend's advice and partially me just sort of butchering it into a couple very simplistic sounds.
Well, that's great. And then I guess, you know, I hope that helps. And if anyone has anything to add to that, please reach out to the mailbag and we'll read the advice on air, whether it sounds like good advice or not. But if it doesn't sound good, we'll include a disclaimer.
Yeah. Should you do taps and stomps? Should you think about that? Should you think just taps, no stomps? Tap, tap.
Okay. I'm not really sure I even understand what you're talking about, but... But it sounds good. It sounds like
it's our I guess listener response, a very special listener response to some listener mailbag.
The system works. Listen, as I get all of my running advice from our listeners, and it's how I keep shaving time off my PR from each successive marathon. So let's see if I can do that with my next one. We'll probably only record one more episode before I do run the New York Marathon. So if anyone has any last second advice they want to get to me, please chime in and let me know. Because
send it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll have to wait until whatever my next marathon is, which is TBD right now.
You want to join in on your upcoming accomplishment, dear listener, just send a mailbag in and we'll attribute part of Dave's success to your advice.
The same way I like to claim credit for anything that any of our special guests achieve, because it's affiliated with this podcast, they can claim success on my my modest hopeful PR, or possibly, you know, they can be part of my not setting a PR, and they can learn from the experience the same way I always do, and we always enjoy learning from things when they go hilariously off the rails.
Yeah
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to leave it. A lot to look forward to next week. I'm excited. Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. For those listeners that thought we were just going to do one episode in season 4 and then just suddenly fall off the map, here we are again, I don't know, 14 or 15 days later.
Yeah.
And we're just here to say onward.
Special guest,
Susie Clinchy.
This is the Power.